We're at ecoshock.org.
In the first week of November, world governments will meet in Bonn, Germany, to plan our reaction to the climate crisis. Called COP23, it is supposed to flesh out commitments in the Paris Climate Agreement of 2015. The conference is being ignored by North American media. Some citizens have not heard of climate change, a few do not believe it, and far more think the United Nations climate process is literally too little too late. A new emissions gap report from the United Nations Environmental Program agrees. It says even if all the emissions cuts promises made at Paris are kept, which seems unlikely, the world would still warm by 3 degrees C by the end of this century. Scientists have called that level of warming catastrophic. Obviously, we need pressure from every level of society to do much more. Our next guest has helped draw together organizations of youth, environmental groups, trade unions, indigenous people, women, and business to put pressure on the governments in Bonn. Ronan Dantec is the French senator for Loire-Atlantique, just re-elected in September. A member of many boards and positions, he serves as chairman of a French special commission on the effects of global warming. Dantec is a member of the French National Council for Ecological Transition. Ronan Dantec is also the spokesman on climate change negotiations for the international organization United Cities and Local Governments. He is the president of the Climate Chance Association, Climat Chance, an organization of non-state actors calling for concrete action on climate change. Senator Ronan Dantec, a warm welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time as we approach the COP23 climate talks in Bonn. What is the most important task those governments must do there?
It's difficult to have a precise vision of this COP at this moment because normally it was a technical COP because, as you know, we had the deal in Paris, the Paris Agreement. We have a very important moment in 2018. But this year, normally this COP is a COP to prepare this new dialogue. It was a framework, but as with President Trump, America decided to go outside of the deal, of the Paris Agreement, it's now a more political moment, and I think that we'll measure in Bonn, of course with the President of Fiji, the voluntary, the will of the state to continue the dynamic, of course, with the American situation. It's difficult. It's difficult to have this concrete vision. We don't know, for example, if the American delegation tried to block the negotiation or just follow the negotiation as a non-member of the deal. We don't know. We don't know at this moment. But after the COP, the framework of this facilitation dialogue will be one of the most important points. Second point is more the question of loss and damage, which is an important point in the COP today, how we pay, how we support the country who today we have big problems with climate change. It's another point, and we know that for this precise question of loss of damage, we have no consensus between all the national governments.
Yes, we just had countries in the Caribbean wiped out by tropical hurricanes, and now we don't know if there is the mechanism to help them pay to rebuild.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's very difficult. My own opinion is that it's possible to create, maybe it's not so easy, but it's possible to create mobilization to tackle climate change, to try to stabilize the evolution of the climate. It's more difficult. Very, very difficult to have this mobilization, to have mobilization of money of developing country just for adaptation and just for the loss and damage. I'm not sure that in a long term people will agree to pay for the damage. I think it's impossible. It's possible that we have this mobilization, that people pay, that developing country pay to decrease CO2 emission. This is a real deal. Just pay for loss and damage. We know that it would be very difficult.
The latest emissions gap report from the United Nations Environmental Agency, UNEP, says the process is failing to keep us below 2 degrees of warming. Do you agree?
I'm not sure that the report is so clear. The report is not optimistic, of course. It's a very pessimistic report today. But the report didn't say that it's impossible today to stabilize the planet. The report said, now, if we continue with this way, we can't reach the targets. It's sure that if we have not a strong mobilization, and first mobilization of new money to help countries in this transition, we can't reach the target. For me, the report just say, if we don't increase our effort, of course, it's impossible to reach the target. But it's not impossible today if in the next few years we have new mobilization, new finance mechanism, a real mobilization. We don't have today this mobilization. It is this point with the crucial point, and it is the heart of the debate.
You represent a far broader constituency of groups beyond governments who want concrete climate action. Please tell us about the Agadir Declaration.
The Agadir Declaration today is the most large undersea declaration in the history of the climate negotiation. All the networks of local governments, the world networks, C40, UCLG, OIP, signed the declaration. The Climate Action Network, with the big networks of NGOs signed to, indigenous people, some networks of companies, some networks of women, young girls, with the Agadir Declaration. After two other declarations with the first climate change in Nantes and another summit in Lyon in 2015, we have, with this declaration, the priorities of non-state actors. And the priorities of non-state actors at the world level today, it's first to be a part of the negotiation, because, of course, the negotiation is a negotiation between national governments. But if non-state actor doesn't do the work in the daily life, we can't decrease CO2 emissions. We must integrate more the role of non-state actors, first point. Another, we have around 10 priorities as access of finance for the cities, for example, for the cities in Africa. We have some proposal for increased actions. It's a consensus between non-state actors who are, for me, and of course for us, the key if we want to stabilize climate.
Activists have long used the slogan, think globally, act locally. So let us return to your own city of Nantes on the Loire River near the Atlantic coast. Why is Nantes known as a green city?
As you know, Nantes was green capital of Europe in 2013 with very important distinctions, because we are in Nantes, and I was deputy mayor of the city during 10 years. We have strong ambition as for biodiversity. For example, we are a kind of natural reserve in the center of the city. But our action to decrease CO2 emission is very important. Nantes was the first city in France who reused the tramway with a strong strategy of public transportation in the 2018. We have a strong strategy to develop a district heating system. A large part of houses today in Nantes are connected in this district heating system. It's a strong, very strong investment. And we try to have a consistency, a coherence between all our public policy, because, for example, if you develop public transportation but you have not a good urban planning, of course, you can't reach the targets. We need this coherence, and I think not before other cities in France, in Europe, try to have this consistency in mobilization between all the policy and all the actors of the city.
Yes, here's the problem. I remember in 2009 in Copenhagen, the government actors were inside talking, but outside there were large crowds of people from all over the world who were concerned about climate change. These groups, the groups that you represent really, have been shut out of their government's talks on what affects all of our future now.
It's a question. Because it's sure me, I represent local government and cities in the negotiation 10 years ago now. And when I arrived in Copenhagen, it was very difficult for us to be present in the negotiation. We have just a small talks at the end during the night in empty room. It was very difficult. For example, in the Paris Agreement, we have a chapter about the role of non-state actors, the role of local governments, for example, the role of private sector, I think today there is a real recognition. But it's true that we have some difficulties in Bonn with this next COP, because non-state actors has a very limited access to the Bula zone. The Bula zone is a zone where there is a real negotiation. There are a strong access to the other zone, the green zone or Bonn zone, with some side events, some discussion, but the place of the negotiation is not so open. It's a difficulty. My feeling, and it's a chapter of the Agadir Declaration, is that today there is a better recognition of our capacity to do, to have concrete action for tackle climate change. But now we have this place, but our other place is with a place in the heart of the negotiation to have the, our own opinion of the negotiation of the strategy of each national government. This place is more limited this year. And it's a problem. We need a balance between our role as actor who do and our role as actor who have capacity to have a good pressure in the global negotiation. And for the second point, it's true that we are worried for Bonn and our place is very limited.
What will your group, Climat Chance, be doing at COP23 meeting in Bonn?
We have some side events to present the results, the incomes of the Agadir summit. We present an important African initiative with commitments of mayors and region presidents of Africa to act and to mobilize civil society in Africa. And we follow the negotiation. As you know, climate change. For us, the importance of Bonn is to push the proposal and the priorities that we discuss in Agadir and another place, because, of course, we have not just one summit in the year, but other events. For example, we organize two another events just before the summit in December with President Macron to put on the table 10 proposals to mobilize finance. But we will be very well present during the COP. In Bonn.
From France, we've been speaking with Senator Ronan Dantec, this time also representing the Climate Chance Association. You can find links to the upcoming climate talks and the latest United Nations Environment Report in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.org. Ronan Dantec, thank you so much for speaking with us on Radio EcoShock.
Thank you. I'm sorry with my poor English.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.